Good morning. Today we continue the series on the fourth servant song recorded for us in Isaiah 52 verse 13 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Today we will look at Isaiah 53 verse 5, which reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The fourth servant song has as its subject the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus' death about 700 years before the crucifixion took place. Verse 5 is clearly making reference to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Yet, death by crucifixion was not yet invented at the time when Isaiah wrote verse 5. It is clear that the Holy Spirit of God inspired him to write about this form of execution hundreds of years before it was invented. This reality is indeed one of the many evidences that the Bible is a divine book. There are four lines to verse 5. We will look at each line. The first line of verse 5 tells us that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. The Hebrew word used for wounded may also be rendered pierced. The Hebrew word speaks of a violent and painful death. It conveys the idea of being fatally pierced or wounded to death. It is used elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe when a man is run through with a sword or spear. The Lord Jesus, as he hung on the cross, had his hands and feet pierced by nails. He was wounded, pierced for your sins and mine. We deserve to have been on that cross. Yet the sinless Lord Jesus died as our substitute. He was indeed pierced, wounded for our transgressions. The word transgression is one of the words used by Isaiah to emphasize that to sin is to commit a serious offense against God. The word transgression means intentional rebellion against God and God's law. God's law is the absolute, unchangeable, and irreversible standard of true morality, and all transgression of that law is essentially immoral. Furthermore, all transgression against God earns the wrath of God. But no one needs to bear the wrath of God when Christ has already borne it for us all when he was crucified on the cross. Our responsibility is to surrender our lives to Christ in order to avoid the wrath of God, which is coming for all unrepentant sinners. The second line of verse 5 tells us also that Christ was bruised for our iniquities. The Hebrew word translated bruised may be translated also crushed. It is a word used consistently in a metaphorical sense in the Old Testament to convey the idea of a crushed human spirit. The range of meanings of the word bruise includes being crushed under the weight of a burden. What then was the burden that crushed the Lord Jesus? Verse 5 tells us clearly that Christ was bruised for our iniquities. The preposition for speaks to the substantive nature of Christ's death. He died in our place. He died instead of us on the cross. He died for our iniquities. Iniquity in the Bible is a reference to the inherent crookedness of human nature. It is a reference to the inherent crookedness of the sinful nature that all persons are born with. Iniquity speaks to the human being's inherent desire to bend, twist, and pervert the laws of God. The third line of verse 5 states, "The chastisement for our peace was upon him." Chastisement refers to an act of punishment intended to instruct and change behavior. Biblically speaking, the purpose of chastising is to lead to repentance and thereafter to secure blessings for the one chastised. Verse 5 is teaching us that Christ has borne the chastisement that was due to us as people born in sin and who also practice sin. Christ's chastisement by God the Father was so that we do not have to be chastised eternally. Christ suffered chastisement on the cross when he paid the price for humanity's redemption with his own blood. Christ's chastisement demonstrates God's love for us. God the Father chastised his Son on the cross as a warning to us all that eternal chastisement awaits those who fail to surrender their lives in repentance to Christ. Christ's chastisement serves also to alert humanity that there is a way to escape the eternal chastisement of a holy God, which will indeed come to those who remain unrepentant. Verse 5 states that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. In the time when the Bible was written, the only way a lawbreaker could be at peace is to suffer the punishment that the law demands. Jesus kept God's law perfectly, yet he suffered the chastisement that belonged to us because he took our place. We now have peace with God and cannot be condemned by God's law. Often when warring armies secure a ceasefire, it is labeled peace. But biblically speaking, peace is so much more than that. The word translated peace in verse 5 is the word shalom. Shalom is more than mere cessation of hostilities. Shalom refers to the removal of enmity between God and sinners. Shalom refers to personal well-being, wholeness, peace of mind, and satisfaction, harmony, and life in all its beautiful fullness. This shalom is promised by God to everyone who becomes a born-again Christian. This shalom is promised to everyone who surrenders his or her life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This shalom is promised to everyone who surrenders his or her life to Christ by repenting of his or her sins. Hence we read in Romans 5 verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace," which is shalom, "with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The fourth line of verse 5 says, "And by his stripes we are healed." The stripes spoken of here is a reference to the whipping Jesus received on his way to the cross. According to the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, a person being flogged would typically receive 13 strokes on the chest and 26 on the back. No doubt Jesus received this kind of treatment. The healing spoken of in the fourth line of verse 5 is not the healing of the body. Verse 5 is concerned with the healing from the sin-sick condition of the human soul. This healing relates primarily to the healing of the individual's spiritual relationship with God. The healing is to reverse the adverse moral and spiritual effects of sin, including guilt and alienation from God, which came about at the fall. When Adam fell, he plunged future generations into bondage to sin. Hence, the healing that Jesus secured on the cross concerns human beings being able to experience restored spiritual wholeness and release from the bondage to sin. Jesus, in his death, took on himself people's sin, guilt, grief, sorrow, and every sinister expression of our fallenness. He voluntarily endured God's wrath and punishment for those evils, and he thereby purchased our salvation and our peace with God. In a sense, it took the death of the great physician to make the patient well. Christians are those who have experienced this healing. God, and only God, can bring healing to human fallenness and enslavement to sin. God has done that through Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. But now Christ offers to you, my non-Christian friend, healing from the bondage of sin. Won't you surrender your life to Christ and be freed from the bondage of sin? We will continue the series on the fourth servant song next week. Until then, May Christ bless you greatly.